Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport from ESPN, fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning, man. This is not TD. This is Barry White, man. The weather and the allergies got me sounding crazy, but here we are.
Kind of silky smooth in there, TD. I like it.
That's good stuff. You're listening to the chocolate sound that melts in your ears.
I think TD's done this before. That's good stuff. Good stuff there. All right, so TD, let's start here. The Titans were nice enough to drop by a nice Jeffrey Simmons jersey this morning in a care package. I love the jerseys.
Oh, that's dope.
I do. I think that they're good looking. Honestly, I'm trying to decide which one I like better, the home jerseys or the road jerseys. I would say most of the people we've heard from this morning really like them, which anytime you do something like this, you know, it's a very subjective thing. But I ask you, TD, what do you make of the rebrand and the new jerseys for the Titans?
Yeah, I think they're dope. I love the red highlights. That red and what we now refer to as Titans blue, apparently, that looks good, man. I love the combination there. To me, that all white, that's sick. With like the little navy highlights, the stars under the underarm plate, and then the we on the collar, and just the strings. I think they did a great job, and it's a result of them just kind of subtly finding out what people like. They put a bunch of different logos in front of fans and some of the players, and just getting a feel for what people liked and what would kind of categorize it as something that they wanted. So they came up with that timeless look, and here we are.
Joe's muted. Chalk one up for Rex Road muting himself today.
Oh, that really stinks. I had some really funny comments about the Barry White thing, and they're not even in the program now. Gosh darn it.
Oh, man.
I know. Like you said, I mean, you know, I mean, I agree with you guys. Like, I think they look good. I guess the criticism is, you know, is it Titans? Is it Tennessee enough? Right? Like, it's obviously you look at these, and I think it depends maybe on your age too. Like, I mean, I love the Oilers jerseys. I think they're some of the best ever. That's what I think of when I look at this. But I guess the identity crisis part of this.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that have you heard?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that they say, "Hey, well, we're the Tennessee Oilers again," and I get what they're saying. The jerseys, in fact, the number on the jerseys is the exact same as the Houston Oilers ones. But as far as the Tennessee part, there are some aspects of it just as far as, like, basically what happened, the Navy became a background color, right? So you have the three stars, which, as we know, are on the Tennessee state flag. Then you have on the breastplate for the away jersey, it says Tennessee, which is to represent Tennessee when they're on the road, right? And then when they're home, it's Titans to represent the organization at Nissan Stadium. You do have also the strings, right? That's on the helmet as the stripe, the strings as a helmet, the stripe on the pants, and it's also on the sleeve. You have that, which is paying homage to the Music City, which is, you know, Nashville. So I think it has its degree. It's not its own individual color scheme like the Navy feature with the, you know, the two-tone look. But it's just something they wanted to go to that jersey. They're proud of that because they feel that only their team is the only one that has that shade of blue. And I mean, I think it's fresh. It's a nice rebrand. They said they wanted to kind of go along the lines of the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors when they did their rebrand in 2015 and just have what they consider to be a classic, timeless piece.
So, TD, obviously it's been a very busy week for the Titans here. I want to ask you specifically about what they've done at corner in the secondary, and particularly with Flott and Alante Taylor coming in. What do you make of those two together, that combo that will be starting for the Titans coming up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would imagine when they're in base, you know, with two corners out there, those would be the guys. They pretty much, like, they restocked the cabinet. That's the way I look at it. And Alante Taylor, he's a guy that, to me, really exemplifies what Robert Saleh wants, right, as far as the fast and physical, aggressive. I mean, that guy bumped into the nickel, and, man, he lit up last year. So I would imagine when they go to sub, he'll bump into the nickel. Remember, they added Joshua Williams, yep, too, you know, a long corner. So that works. And you add that to Michael Robinson, and you look at Marcus Harris, who was at the jersey reveal yesterday. It's a nice group. It's a solid group, and I think they're in good shape. They added, you know, a couple of young corners, young ascending players, and obviously you got to pay a little bit for that, and you know they did, but they filled what was considered an area for improvement.
So TD, as you look at everything now, and they've done quite a bit. I mean, to me, they've solidified, you know, a lot of spots, you know, done a lot of necessary adds here. Do you look at their free agency work and projected it all to the draft? Do you feel like you have a better grasp for what they might draft, or is it still, you know, look, I mean, there's still a number of ways you can still go at four.
Yeah, I think there's still a number of ways. There's four different players that, you know, if they come in outside of those four, I'd be absolutely shocked. I would say Sonny Styles is a wild card, but I mean, you look at the pass rushers, Reuben Bain, David Bailey of Real Reese, and then Jeremiah Love is there. And I think those are the four. Actually, don't think those are the four top players on their board. And they would be thrilled with any of those four. So they're in a really good situation. If they want to, maybe they could trade back. If they see a guy may fall, you know, one or two spots, but they're in a good place where they could stay put and get a guy they really like.
TD, what do you think of what they've done up front on the defensive line? Obviously, John Franklin Myers being the big one, but now at this point, like basically the rotation that they've been able to add there this week.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Solomon Thomas, you look at Jordan Elliott, you look at Jacob Martin, you know, they signed guy Jacob Martin. I like him on the outside. I think he's solid. Now, look, man, I'm not calling him, you know, Nick Benito or Derek Thomas or anybody, but, you know, the guy will give you somewhat of a presence off the edge in that rotation. But to me, you know, they got guys that they're familiar with. They got guys that are penetrators, quick upfield type of players. And that's what Robert Saleh wants in his front, right? He wants an attacking, upfield rushing type of defense. That's also stout against the run. And I think they really helped themselves. And I know you mentioned other than Franklin Myers pairing him with Jeffrey Simmons, but like that's a tandem that you can't overlook. Like that's going to be a problem for opposing teams.
Right now, TD, if you had to make a call on who's starting at center and right guard for the Titans next year, who would that be, and how do you assess just the overall quality of this offensive line at this point?
Okay, good question. Right now, you know, I think Jackson Slater wins either that center job or right guard. I think he's going to win one of those, probably the right guard situation if they don't sign Zeitler. And then, of course, that being said, it points to Slopeman being the center. And, I mean, he filled in apparently pretty well for John Michael Schmidt up there with the Giants when he was hurt. But, I mean, we'll see. You know, gauging from, you know, talking to some of the Giants, you know, like Jordan Rodnan and some of the others that I know, he essentially was like a Corey Levin, you know, a guy that was reliable when he had to jump in and start. He just never got a consistent starting job, and that's obviously Corey Levin, who has since moved on to the Falcons.
Yep, absolutely. Well, TD, we enjoyed it as always. A nice touch this morning with the smooth voice bringing it to the table. We appreciate your time as always, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, no problem at all, man. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport with us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Fueled by Parman Energy, visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. We'll react to what TD had to say. We got Burt Nyhill from the Titans coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tonight, Vanderbilt baseball hosts LSU at Hawkins Field. First pitch at 6 o'clock. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Conference play beginning for Vanderbilt in the SEC tonight, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We'll have Burt Nyhill with us coming up here in about 10 minutes, president and CEO of the Titans. Taking your thoughts on the Titans NFL free agency at 615-737-1025. You know, they've developed quite a rotation here, Joe, when it comes to what they've added on the defensive front. So that part of it is going to be, I mean, they've been very busy on the defensive side of the ball this week. Not as busy on the offensive side. You know, the Jackson Slater part of this is going to be really interesting. You know, PK came out with a piece at his site yesterday talking about how Jackson Slater could be basically like the real test, the case study of the draft and develop approach that Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker are taking here. So we'll see if he's ready for either playing center or playing right guard. But you heard it there from TD, Joe. You know, right now, based on where their roster is today on March the 13th, you know, he might be the favorite to win one of those jobs. And then you just kind of hope the other players that you've signed to this point in free agency are good enough to patch it together. Definitely, if you're a Titans fan, though, like, you're looking at those two spots at the moment, center, right guard, and that's without even getting into, you know, what's going on at right tackle and left tackle. But you're looking at those two spots right now with a great deal of skepticism would probably be the kind way to put it.
Yeah, to me, that's easily the most disappointing part of free agency. I understand just like what Charles was saying. It's crazy, the money that's now going to interior offensive linemen. But again, in a league with the cap like this, it's hard for me to even really get all that excited about like almost any number anymore in the NFL, right? It's just like this is where it's going to go. So I think the Titans needed to get in there and sign a legitimate, established, quality starting center. Slater, there's excitement about him. We've seen that work out well. We've seen that work out poorly. I think TD hit it there, though. Like, he's going to have a lot of opportunity to demonstrate that he should have one of those spots. Okay, that's fine. You hope it works out. And then you still have the question. And potentially, again, it sounds like probably more likely he would be the right guard. And you've got, basically a career backup center. I mean, if he is, as TD said, he was the Giants version of Levin. Is he better than Levin? Because if he's not, then you pair that with questions at left tackle. Sure, left tackle is better, but it's not, I wouldn't call it good. And right tackle, I think there's some optimism it can get better. Left guard's good. You have that, and then right now take the relatively small amount of help to the skill positions, you know, with one obvious exception. And it hasn't been a great offseason so far for the Tennessee Titans offense.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the draft going to change some of that. But, you know, at this point, I'd be, I guess, surprised if they don't keep Calvin Ridley. I just think it makes a lot of sense where their receiving room is. At this point, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. I mean, the offensive line, it's important regardless of how you view it, but I think with where they're at right now, it becomes all the more important that J.C. Latham truly did figure some things out at the end of this past season and gets better and more comfortable in the offseason. You know, the interesting part of that is, like, if they don't bring Zeitler back, and let's say it is Jackson Slater that ends up winning the right guard job. Well, PK's talked about this, like, all offseason long. Like, he would really like to see, and he thinks the Titans would like to see, Latham have a veteran guy next to him at the right guard spot. Well, if he doesn't, and it's Slater, and you're talking about a young player in Slater and then a third-year guy in Latham at that point, how does that impact things? Like, what, you know, what sort of a difference does that make? I mean, look, I want the best player there, so I don't really care if they're, you know, a veteran or they're young. But PK's made that point multiple times this offseason that the Titans want a veteran guy next to him at right tackle. Or excuse me, right guard.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, so okay. So maybe, you know, it's Zeitler or somebody else, and that's the plan. And then, okay, you plug that in.
Where does this Cordell Volson signing, where does he fit in the interior offensive lineman shuffle?
I mean, he's
been a starter.
He has started
48 starts.
Yeah,
he has started career games. Yeah.
Now, he didn't play last year, so there's
shoulder.
That.
I looked it up. It was a shoulder injury.
Okay, so you're talking about a shoulder injury that kept him out all of last year. He has started, as Ian pointed out, 48 games. So 48 of the 50 games he's played, he's been a starter. Is that what you're rolling with at right guard to start the
season?
Could be. Because he's played mostly left guard,
yes,
from what I can tell, in Cincy.
And he's playing left guard here, so yeah.
So can he move over to the right side?
I don't know where he fits. Yeah, they have options and flexibility with what they've done, which is good. Competition, that's good.
Yep.
But, you know, you also have, like, I just like known commodities, right, more than what they have. And especially just center, I understand. Like, it was pretty much dismissed out of hand that they were going to try to get into the Linderbaum thing. The number's crazy. I get it. He wasn't the only one, though. And some of these other teams have signed more known commodity starting centers for more money. And you can't change it now, but I think that would be, if there's a misstep so far in the free agency period, that would be it for me.
We'll be joined by Burke Nihil of the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Exciting day for the Titans yesterday. We've talked about it throughout the show this morning. And to help us talk more about it, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in President and CEO of the Tennessee Titans, Burke Nihil, to the program. Burke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Burke, we've talked about it. Look, I got to say, from the reaction that we've gotten, I think most Titans fans absolutely love the jerseys that were put on display last night. Good job by Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward for modeling those. But just from your vantage point, what was the process like kind of putting all of this together, and what do you make of the finished product that you guys put on display last night?
Well, we're proud of the finished product, and you know, it's gratifying to hear from fans who also are proud of it and are responding well to it. Our players have loved it. Cam Ward saw it for the first time on a mannequin and giggled a little bit and turned around and asked where his was so he can put his jersey on. So we're definitely proud of the final product. And these sorts of processes take years. We started thinking about this when it became apparent that a new stadium was a possibility. And if there's ever a time to take a step back and do some soul searching to kind of figure out what resonates most with our fans, with the city, with the state, with our players, with alumni, about this team, where we've been, where we are today, and ultimately what their hopes and dreams for the team would look like. We started that process really high up in the funnel, asking a lot of questions and fan surveys, and we did some pretty specific focus groups along the way to get, you know, really into the weeds about what people loved about the team and what it meant to them to be a Tennessee Titan. And over time, this is ultimately what came out of that process. What we heard was that fans and Nashville and Tennessee really wanted their NFL team to represent the state and the city in their branding even more. And so we tried hard to do that. We heard that they loved the throwbacks. The players loved the throwbacks. Our fans loved the throwbacks, but they wanted something in that throwback look and feel that was authentically Tennessee, that was Nashville for the future. And then lastly, they wanted something that was timeless. and Classic. When we put all their logos in front of them, you know, the college teams and professional sports teams, the ones that resonated with them were the ones that where the look and feel and the logos made sense in 1950 and 1980 and will in 2050. And so with all of those objectives in mind, we ended up kind of carving this out of the marble, and we were really proud to show the world last night.
So, Burke, obviously when things like this happen, I mean, some people are not going to be happy. I mean, we talked earlier on the show about the Vanderbilt logo change. There was a lot of anger at the time. It's kind of faded now. As you assess reaction, what is like what's a good hit rate? I mean, I think today we think it's probably 80-20 in favor. What is an acceptance rate that you want to see? And then also the criticism, I think the main criticism I hear is that it very much looks like the Houston Oilers, which are great uniforms, but that's what people think of. They think of the Houston Oilers. I think around the league, there's some people who, you know, obviously get upset when you guys have worn those in the past. What about people who say that?
Yeah, let me start here. I have on my desk a program with Steve McNair wearing a Tennessee Oilers jersey at Vanderbilt. So, you know, that colorway is something that was worn in Tennessee, in the earliest days. But I would tell you, we didn't start off trying to land any particular place. At the end of the day, this is about the future, and not anything from our past or even from our legacy. But, this was something that just resonated with our fans and with our players. There was a story of a player who, when you think about this, would have played from peewee to high school to college with other pro teams before he got to us, and iconic teams and uniforms all along the way. And after a game playing in the throwbacks, he sat in his locker long after everyone left, not wanting to take his uniform off because he felt so good and felt such pride in that uniform. And that's clearly part of this organization's legacy, even for those folks that didn't watch the team playing in those jerseys in the original days. I've compared it to this. I was born in the United States, but my family hails from Ireland. And so I've got this legacy.com interest in Ireland, despite the fact that I didn't grow up there. And that's true of this team. For fans or fans of this team here, that's a part of our legacy. But again, this is about the future and about how this team can represent something that this state, this city, our fan base can be proud of that's distinct. About 25% of NFL teams could take the field any given Sunday in a dark blue color. This is a distinct look that stands out you know, I think the real test on the hit rate, I would say 80-20 is probably a pretty good hit rate for today. I think the real hit rate is 20-35. 2045. You know, what does this uniform represent to the next generation of people who love this team and for whom this team is an important part of their lives?
So obviously, Burke, new logos kind of involved with this too. So we've talked a lot about the jerseys, but just kind of the process of selecting the logos that you guys unveiled last night too. What all went into that, and what do you make of what you come up with on that front?
Yeah, I think with the word mark Tennessee Titans, that was a lot of fun trying to come up with a way that you can see Titans visually that represents this place really well. And we got a lot of inspiration from the printmaking of this city. Think hat show prints, things that, again, from 1950 to 1980 and to 2050 will be timeless and make sense. So really proud of how that turned out. In terms of the primary logo, to put it in the words of Aaron Swartz, our Senior Vice President of Brand Marketing, we went around the world to end up across the street. We looked at so many different possibilities for the primary logo, and ultimately what felt right was something that felt familiar to this first quarter century playing in Nashville, but something that's just a little bit more classic and evolved. And very, very proud of the secondary mark with the interlocking TN and a football. Again, wanting to represent the state and city so well, it was something that we very intentionally set out to do, was to have a logo that represented the team, but also represented the place that so many people are proud to call home.
What all went into, obviously a big event last night, Bert, a lot of special guests. I mean, I've seen some snippets, but what all went into that? What did we miss? Did Kaharski behave himself, et cetera?
I have not heard any reports of Kaharski doing anything other than being on his best behavior.
That's good.
It was a special night. I wish I could name everybody who deserves credit for everything about this moment, from the design of the uniforms to the social media work that went out last night. That was just really pretty special work, I thought. But to the people who put on that event, there was an orchestra. Kyle Brandt was the MC. My favorite moment personally was after the jersey reveal. Cam and Jeff came out, and as they're slapping five with the mosh pit in the front row, they were joined on stage by, I don't know how many, 20 plus current players and alumni players. So Jarrell Casey and Wesley Whittier and Delaney Walker come out joining Marcus Harris, some of the free agents we just signed. This was really just kind of a moment, a symbol of this team and our legacy, our present, and where we're going to go together.
So, Burke, I mean, obviously every time you drive downtown now, you see the stadium, and it just continues to look like it's growing and getting bigger every time you go down there. What do you make of the progress that's been made on that front, and kind of what stands out to you about where you are in the process with the new stadium?
Yeah, I think this is fun to sit here at this moment as somebody who obviously plays a lot of attention to this team and the things around this team. And we've been looking ahead to this moment, this 2 or 3 year window where, you know, what if one of the world's great stadiums opens up? That's just this rich, high character stadium that I think will make our fans proud. We have new uniforms that just stand out, that bring a freshness to the team. And then the team gets right, and the team on the field proves it and earns it and makes this city and our fans proud. It feels like there's energy and momentum going toward that moment, and the stadium is going to be, I think, pretty remarkable. We've obviously sent out lots of renderings. People drive by and can see the scale of it, but there's so much more to see over time when you actually get in and breathe the air. It's been a lot of fun to go over there every couple weeks and see the progress. We've got 2,000 people on site a day. Thank you to all of them for doing such great work. And with 2,000 people, that's a lot of work that happens every single day. And so the progress has just been remarkable. And you can now walk through the concourses and feel the difference. You can walk out onto the terraces and feel it. We have said there's not a bad seat in the house. You can now go stand in the upper corner of the building and see how close you feel to the field. We've made a lot of progress. We've just passed the 1 year mark. We'll get the keys to the building sometime in probably late February of next year. It's going to be a real thrill to let people walk through the building and see it and experience it.
So, Burke, I think obviously, we're going to get a Super Bowl in Nashville at some point. I mean, that's generally what the NFL does, and why wouldn't we? My question for you is, do you think that we can be part of the rotation, a regular rotation down the road in this new stadium of hosting Super Bowls?
I sure think so. The NFL draft was not a no-brainer for the NFL to send that event here. They very often go back to a lot of the same cities and had kind of a vision for what that event was going to be. And the city with the NTVC and the team did a great job of selling them on how Nashville is actually the perfect canvas for that event. And that event, they still talk about it. I've been a part of meetings that are with a lot of other teams, and they talk about where they bring their flagship events from the draft and the Super Bowl and what they want out of those events. And they hold the draft out as the gold standard of what an event can mean for the league and for a city. And so it's so much more than just the stadium, but the stadium is a prerequisite. And so we will have the stadium in a few years. And I agree with you. I think the Super Bowl will be here as soon as they feel like it's the right time to be here. And if the city does anything close to what it did for the NFL draft, absolutely you'll be on that short list of those cities that it wants to come back to.
Well, Burke, it's an exciting time, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Congratulations on everything going on right now. I think the jerseys look great. Really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Burke Nihil, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans. A lot of your thoughts on the jersey, on the brand redesign for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament. All coming up in our final segment. That's next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's quickly head to our phone line. Welcome in Nate to the program. Nate, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Y'all were discussing earlier in the show about how the NFL usually has a big reaction to the Titans wearing Oiler-esque uniforms. With it being their main uniform now, how do y'all think the reaction will be throughout the season?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thank you for the call. I mean, it won't be good in Houston, I can tell you that. I mean, look, I think everybody else, Joe, I think is going to get used to it and it'll be fine. And I think most people are going to look at it and say, yeah, it's a pretty sweet-looking uniform. I don't know that the people involved in Houston will really ever get over it. But that's all. Again, that's all the more reason for me to wear it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, we obviously know. I think there will be. I think I see it already. I just like NFL reporters around the league. Some of them like really get ticked off about this. I know like Joe Shad in particular just he rages about this every chance he gets. I think there's gonna be, you know, but yet like you're right. Over time, it's like it'll just become the norm.
Yep.
But some people will definitely have a problem with it.
Look, in summary, I think they look good. I think most of the people we've heard from today really like it. You know, the logo I think will take some time to get used to, but the jerseys themselves I think really look good, and I'm excited to watch them on the field. We'll see, you know, if more winning is involved with it. That's ultimately what matters here. Joe, we got a couple minutes left here. Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up in the SEC tournament today. What do you make of that matchup, which will be the rubber match this season? I think, unless they, you know, play each other in the tournament again, between Tennessee and Vanderbilt.
True. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the day. You know, Friday is usually a really great day of this week. You go look at the Big 12 as they switch to wood now. Oh, gee, maybe we shouldn't have some LED stupid court that
I'm not sure Al is better
from awesome basketball and gets people hurt. But that they got like a Final Four level. It's Final Four of that league today. And here in Nashville, we got some great games, Kentucky, Florida. But obviously the marquee event for us is Tennessee, Vanderbilt. I'm excited for it. I think, you know, the thing to watch, we have not really seen it a lot. We saw it some in the Nashville meeting. But Chandler Bing on Nate Ament as the Vanderbilt answer, or attempted answer, to try to slow him down. I mean, he carried them yesterday. If he didn't have an incredible game, play 32 minutes when we weren't sure if he was going to play at all, they would have lost by double figures to Auburn.
No doubt. Going to be a fun game today. We'll see what that looks like between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Preds with a big one over the weekend against Edmonton on the road after they dropped one last night in a shootout to the Vancouver Canucks. More reaction throughout the day today to the Titans changing uniforms, changing logos, and continuing to break down NFL free agency. A lot going on this week, and we'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Joseph, behave yourself at the SEC tournament. Have some good food.
I'm going to have a lot of calories, and on Monday morning, we will have a bracket, my friends.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the weather this weekend. We'll be back at it on Monday morning. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.